With his 2015-2017 state budget proposal, Governor Scott Walker would overthrow Wisconsin's traditions of fair rules and effective services. The Madison Institute believes such changes deserve the attention of a well-informed citizenry, so we sponsored a series of four progressive roundtables to discuss the realities of the situation. We invited knowledgeable panelists and opportunities for discussion. The four areas include K-12 public education, the University of Wisconsin system, social services, and natural resources. Today's topic is on natural resources. Our panelists include George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and former DNR Secretary. Helen Saracinos, Policy Director with the Rivers Alliance of Wisconsin. Jimmy Vandenbroek, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Land and Water Conservation Association. And Matt Dannenberg, Communication Organizer of the League of Conservation Voters. This talk was held on April 25, 2015, at the Capitol Lakes Retirement Center in Madison, Wisconsin. There are also downloadable handouts at our website at themadisoninstitute.org. First, we hear from George Meyer.
This is the 23rd state budget that I've seen in my career, and I can tell you, and I'm not, this isn't hyperbole, this is the worst conservation budget I've seen in the 45 years that I've been associated with working in conservation issues in state government. And I'm just going to touch on a few, and the colleagues up here that are very skilled in their tasks will discuss others. One of them, thank God, we were able to successfully get out of the budget, and that was removal of the authority of the Citizen Natural Resources Board to be the decision-making body for the Department of Natural Resources. This board, used to be the Conservation Commission, was formed in 1928 to reduce the politics in natural resources management and to make it more of a citizen-based public input into the valuable natural resources that we, in fact, are the owners of in the state. We were able to get that out of the budget by a vote of the Joint Finance Committee, unanimous vote of the Joint Finance Committee. What it would have done is centralize more power in the governor and the secretary of DNR to make natural resources decisions and reduce the amount of opportunity for citizens to communicate and have an impact. The Natural Resources Board meets every month, and it's open that any citizen can come and talk about a natural resource issue, and they have tremendous amount of public input. These seven folks that sit on there get thousands of communications every year, and that would have been removed, and we'd have had less say on what the future of our natural resources. But that issue is crossed off the list. Unfortunately, there's at least 10 other major items that are on the list. One of them is our stewardship program. The stewardship program is a program to buy land for future generations. State wildlife areas, state fishery areas, state parks, state forests, state natural areas. And this is a very popular program. It's called the Knowles-Nelson Fund. It's had strong bipartisan support since its creation about 30 years ago. And in this budget, it was proposed to freeze any state land acquisition for 13 years. So even if a very valuable piece of property in the middle of a state forest or the middle of a state park would come up for sale, and they do usually when there's generation changes or things of that nature, the state would not be able to buy it. Access to lakes and other bodies of water, which are important to the constituents I represent. Now, there's two sides to this issue. This isn't free money. It's bonded money. And there is a fiscal cost to this. And our position as an organization is, yes, maybe we need to scale down some of the acquisition, but freezing it for 13 years goes way too far. And I think there is going to be a compromise on this. I've heard from many legislators that they still want to keep some type of program in place. And cross your fingers, hopefully we will be able to come to a resolution of that issue. There's two other issues I'm going to talk about, and one I know Helen's going to spend a lot of time, so I won't spend a lot of time, is the cutting of 18 research scientists from the Department of Natural Resources. This is the foundation of natural resource management in the state. The research projects, and they do about 330 every couple of years, but 115 a year, is the foundation for all the management of all the fish and wildlife species that are managed by the state of Wisconsin, and how to manage the land for natural resource management. That work is done by these folks. And without this, it's sort of the foundation of the house. If you start taking away that foundation, you start, future generations are going to have a very difficult time making the wise decisions they need in terms of natural resource management. The reason for this, supposedly, is some of the politicians involved in the budget don't like some of the answers they get from this research. Well, you know, sometimes we don't always like them. You know, once in a while I'll be talking to my wife and I don't like the answer I get either. I don't throw her over the board or out of the house, you know. And I always let the political figures know that, okay, maybe you don't get the answer, but you still get the final decisions. This is the science that you need to make the decision, but you still get the final decision. But you should be aware of what the potential impacts are in regard to this. I'll let Helen go into this much more. She's very working on this very well. The other issue, though, and to show how ideological this budget is, and it really is, there's elimination of 11 educator positions. Now, what do these educators do? They communicate science, and mainly to the youth in the state of Wisconsin. This is really an anti-education, anti-science budget. And these are naturalists in some of our state parks that, you know, if you go to our state parks, they always have evening sessions or hikes, mainly focused on youth, telling them about the outdoors and getting them interested in the outdoors. Also, it's the positions in some of the programs that teach teachers on how to communicate on fishery issues or wildlife or forestry issues, sort of. And their job is to have seminars with high school or grade school, usually middle school teachers, on how to integrate this information into their curriculum. But it's not just isolated. This anti-education, it's not just isolated DNR. In other parts of the budget, non-DNR, they've totally eliminated the Wisconsin Environmental Education Center at the UW-Stevens Point. And this is a group that really reaches out to all the schools in the state to help teachers learn what to talk about in terms of environmental science. There's a requirement in the state that each school or grade has to have environmental education in part of their programs. This eliminates the body that provides that information to teachers. So there really is a theme of education and science, and I take it as really an ideological challenge by some of the politicians that have had an impact on the state budget. Thank you.
Next we hear from Helen Saracinos.
River Alliance has been around for 23 years. We're a statewide river conservation group. We speak for rivers, and we work with over 2,500 individual, business, and organizational members throughout the state to protect rivers, to improve rivers, and basically to get people to love the rivers and get out there as much as they can. As George may mention, the budget obviously has been of great interest to us because of what changes and what impacts it has on water in the state, which is really where we're singularly focused as an organization. And many of our interests obviously overlap at this table, but I'll give you a little bit of a perspective about water and why we're so concerned and working doubly hard to try to protect as much of our water resources given this extremely anti-conservation and, I'll add, anti-democratic budget that's there. A few of the key issues that have risen to the top for us include actual cuts to funds to clean up polluted runoff. That is dirty water or pollution that comes off of, it's not the pollution that comes out of a pipe. You don't think of a factory with a pipe with dirty water being dumped into a river. This is the stuff that flows off our streets and collects street contaminants and dirt and gets into rivers, as well as runoff that occurs on agricultural lands. When lands are managed in such a way that you have big rainfall, it collects mostly soil and nutrients and anything that's applied to fields, and all that stuff slowly flows into our rivers. And as a river organization, or I should say as a water organization, really. We care about that because that is the number one source of pollution to rivers and lakes in Wisconsin. It's polluted runoff. And this budget aims to cut over $6 million in funds to those, to various programs. I won't go into huge detail because, again, I think this is an area that Jimmy will be speaking about in a little more detail. But suffice it to say, they're cutting not only the staff who have those relationships with farmers to help them implement responsible practices and to keep topsoil and nutrients where they need to be, which is on the land and not in our rivers and lakes. They are also cutting the funding that allows farmers to do this work, that makes it possible, because in this state, any conservation work on farmland has to come with dollars, or else farmers are not obligated to do it. So it's very critical and it's very concerning, not just for the dollar cut, but the message it sends that they don't actually care that much to do something about it. And that's really what gets our antennae up as a water organization. So that's one of the things we've been discussing with legislators is there any ability to keep that money in place to restore some of the proposed cuts and to protect the people and the resources to cut down on polluted runoff? And, you know, I live right near Lake Monona. I have children who, despite my best attempts, they are the children of water people, and so they are in that lake. They are in the Yahara River. And part of me loves it, and part of me just shakes my head and says, I really want them to go in there and not worry about them getting sick, not worry about them catching, I don't know, you name it, not worry about them getting tangled in weeds and never coming out again. So my personal interests as well as my professional interests are so tied into seeing us collectively come to solutions on this problem of non-point pollution in lakes and rivers. But again, you'll hear a little bit more, I believe, from Jim about this. Another one of our big priorities was the cuts to science in the DNR, and I think you heard some very good points made by George Meyer, and I just want to put this into a bigger context again about what people care about in the state. So it might be a far connection to make between science and then our citizens, but as a matter of fact, I want to put it into context. These are the folks who are developing answers to some of our pretty big vexing questions and really big desires in this state. For example, some of those scientists and science service have come up with recent reports that identified, I don't know if anybody here is familiar with the walleye initiative that was in the last budget. This was a $14 million initiative to increase the walleye population in the state, which is a very popular game fish for people. They love to fish it. They're exciting. They're delicious fish. They're great to fish, fun, and a huge base of people who want to see the walleye population increase and have more access to it. So the governor allocated $14 million in the last budget towards the initiative. Well, those scientists they want to cut today, those are the scientists that came up with the plan to say, where do we do this? We have 15,000 lakes in Wisconsin. Where do we put our money? Where do we invest this money coming from the state to get those maximum returns, to use it well and to see more walleye and to see more places where people can go, throw in their bait and pull out healthy fish? That takes research. That takes people who understand lakes to come up with that plan. That's the kind of work they're doing. Another example is we have a really growing problem with invasive species in lakes and rivers. To take one example, Eurasian milfoil. Anybody who has a boat with a motor on it is intimately acquainted with Eurasian milfoil because if you wind up in the wrong lakes, it usually winds up tangled in your boat motor. It makes recreation on lakes incredibly difficult. It makes it hard to move around, and some places are no longer friendly to having boats in there at all because they're choked with weeds, these invasive weeds. You have these scientists who are determining the most effective method to get rid of and to manage Eurasian milfoil. This takes expertise, six people who've spent years and years studying all the factors that come into play. And this is the kind of research they're doing in science services. A third one, and this will be my last example, is the public health piece of this all. We talk about algae. We are all familiar. Any of us who live anywhere near these lakes and spend any time on our lakes here in Madison are intimately familiar with algae because Mendota and Monona are covered in it at some point during the summer. It's a nuisance. It's gross. It makes you not want to get in the water. More importantly, sometimes that algae turns out to be something that's more than just a nuisance. It can be a public health. If it's a blue-green algal bloom, it can make people sick. It can kill your pets. It's a big public health concern. And we have those scientists that they want to get rid of doing research on determining where in the state it's most likely to happen because it's tied to polluted runoff, so that DNR knows where to put their management resources. There's no way our agency can be everywhere all the time. So they need to be able to look to their scientists to say, in these parts of the states, the condition, in these parts of the state this year, the conditions are ripe for blue-green algae, and we better be on top of it there. This is the kind of work being done, and this is the kind of work they're proposing to get rid of. And you listen to Secretary Stepp. With all due respect, she makes a point that is valid, that scientists don't only exist in the Bureau of Science in the DNR. They exist throughout the agency. So she said, even if they're not in that bureau, we have plenty of scientists on the ground who can do this work. Well, you have to understand they're making cuts everywhere else, too. Just this week, they cut 14 more positions out of the Fisheries Bureau. Fisheries management. Those are the other ISTs, as Kathy Stepp likes to call them, who are supposed to be taking up the slack, except they're slashing those positions too. So who is left to tell us where dangerous blue-green algae are going to show up in our rivers and lakes, where the next invasive species is going to come in and completely blow up our fisheries? Where are we going to invest the shrinking number of dollars to keep our fish and game healthy, to keep our water and air healthy? This is why it's such a concern to those of us who are watching this budget, that science is being attacked so obviously. The last point I will make is our concern is not only the cutting of dollars to environmental programs and to the DNR budget, but the steps they're taking to cut the democracy out of this, which is a really big concern. You know, we care about transparency of decision making and objectiveness, and you've heard objectivity, and you've heard I think quite a bit now about the science being cut, which is taking away that objective voice that looks at what should be done. And remember, and I said this point repeatedly over the last few months, just because somebody doesn't like what a report tells them doesn't mean that report is biased. And managers, as George wisely pointed out, lawmakers are ultimately able to make management decisions that they feel balance lots of interests. You don't cut out the science. You use it as one element of your decision making. But you were losing that objectivity, and other cuts in this budget are really aimed squarely at citizen participation. That NRB, the attempt to eliminate NRB's authority, that also is an opportunity for citizens to come in and tell the citizen board and to ultimately tell the DNR and lawmakers why things are important to them and why they're concerned and what they'd like to see happen. That's the citizen engagement part they were cutting out. There's another little-known cut to that budget. They're eliminating grants to a half dozen nonprofit organizations around the state whose sole job is to interact with the public, to educate them, to help them be viable stewards of their local lakes or land trusts or rivers. And this small investment really meant that thousands upon thousands of citizens were directly engaging with their natural resources and getting to have a say in how they're managed and how they're prioritized. That funding has been axed, and DNR has been very clear they're not intending to take up any of that outreach capacity that they just eliminated. And so I see this as a slow and steady attack on citizen engagement in the resources that belong to you, to us, every one of us in this state. And that's another reason for concern.
Next, we hear from Jimmy Vandenbroek, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Land and Water Conservation Association.
So we're dealing with a wide range of issues, frac sand issues in western Wisconsin. You don't hear about here, but that's a big issue. Invasive species, woodland management, and we also deal with an issue that's become very hot in the Northeast, manure that gets into drinking water wells, like directly, and makes people sick. I sort of view this budget as being a budget that is deconstructive of many things. And it's deconstructive of our conservation heritage. You think about Wisconsin, John Muir, Aldo Leopold, Governor Nelson, you know, these incredible conservationists that established a legacy in Wisconsin that very few other states have. And we're, what we're doing is we're taking it apart, in big brick loads now. That's what this budget does. And it's affecting citizen input, science, as we've heard about, and capacity. You know, you need citizen input, you know, to keep everybody honest, and that's a big thing. The science part, policy is often made without science. And when that's done, bad things happen. The capacity part's what I'm going to talk about. So we have staff in all these counties. They get funds in the state budget that go to the Department of Agriculture, DNR, and then it comes out to counties to actually do the work. Because it's not the Department of Ag and it's not DNR staff that are working on this polluted runoff stuff right at the local level. It's county staff working with farmers, and they're working with others to reduce this polluted runoff. And so the money for cost sharing that farmers need, the money for staff that provide the technical assistance, that's being reduced too. Helen said about $6 million is taken out of that in this biennium, is taken out. And, you know, compared to $300 million out of the university, it doesn't seem like a lot. But it's a lot in these individual counties. So what do people care about this? Well, recently, Nature Conservancy, it's a, you know, they're a partner organization with all of us. They conducted a survey, found out that 88% of Wisconsinites, even in tough budget times, would spend more money on conservation, on land and water conservation. So it's not about the people's desire to do this, because it's there. This is very much a political statement. It's because conservation is inconvenient for certain things. You know, unfortunately, what's going to sustain us into the future are the resources that we have. And basically, we're selling it short in the short time frame for political purposes. Now, it's not all gloom and doom, I don't think. We still have remarkable staff out there. We have great conservation organizations that are working hard. So what can you do? Well, unfortunately, you live in this very progressive community here in Madison. I love Madison. I love Dane County. The decisions that are being made by Republican legislators. They're the ones that control the Assembly and the Senate. And they're not in the Madison districts. So if you, and you all have huge networks of friends and some that live in Republican districts. And I think you need to make contact with them to let legislators know how important this stuff is, because it is important all over the state, and we are hearing that. But this is the time when the voice of the people can have some impact on this budget. The clock is ticking. We're talking about within a month or two, it's all going to be over. The decisions will be made. And so I think as interested citizens, you need to talk to your friends that know folks in these Republican districts, because I think that's how it's going to actually change. But I'll leave you on a bright note. You know, can we do something about, and I'll just focus on the polluted runoff thing. And it's emblematic of all this other stuff that's done. You know, can we manage our way out of these problems? Well, we can, and we have. We've got some great examples. There's one right here in Dane County. Just south of Mount Horeb, where I live, there's a little watershed called Pleasant Valley, lovely name. Small watershed, and there was a project done to try to clean up those waters. And Dane County Land Conservation staff, so our folks and lots of other partners, worked with farmers, and the farmers participated. They put conservation practices on the land, nutrient management stuff, conservation practices. And within a couple years, they actually have demonstrated phosphorus reduction, and that's the big issue in these Madison lakes. So they showed it can be done, and it's been done in some other watersheds too. So this is stuff that can be done if we have the will to do it, the political will to do it. And this budget doesn't take us there. It takes us away from there. So we know we can do it. but we're going to need your help to get there. It's going to be the pressure on this legislature to move. And I, you know, we're all talking to the legislators about these things. They need to hear from the citizens about it. And I do have a sense there are still some moderate conservation Republicans. They're there, but they need to be talked to. You got to talk to them because they have to stand up against what really is a very, I think George said it, this is an ideological budget, and they've pushed back on some things. I mean, pushing back on the policy board for DNR and the policy board for DADCAP was huge. The money's going to be tougher, but it's important. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Next, Matt Dannenberg with the League of Conservation Voters.
So, yeah, budget debacle, right? What we do is we work with citizens to hold the legislature accountable. We work to elect pro-conservation candidates in the State Assembly and Senate all across the state, and work to pass public policy that benefits natural resources and public health. That's our mission. And we look at this budget, this list of values and priorities of the state of Wisconsin, it's going the wrong direction. And one area I really want to focus in again is in organizing and citizen input. That's what I'm all about. That's what I'm doing 24/7. And this budget really seems to kind of take aim and hit at stifling organizing and ability of citizens' voice to be heard in the process. You know, right, starting with education of our youth on the environment, the elimination of Center for Environmental Education, Wisconsin Environmental Education Board. These people that are passionate about getting those values instilled and knowledge passed on to our future generations being cut. It's just, that's a huge statement right there. A change in priorities that doesn't really seem to fit in with what Wisconsin actually values. Yesterday, I spent the day up in Stevens Point at the Wisconsin Association or Wisconsin Lakes Partnership convention. There's one of those scientists from the Division of Science Services there, you know, nearly breaking down in tears at the end of her presentation because you know she just got that notice that you know her position might not be there anymore. And another aside, I was at an Isaac Walton League meeting up in Point last month. I talked to a gentleman there that was really frustrated about the budget. He had applied for a position as a custodian at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point. He had been, you know, through a couple steps in the process and called to check in on the status of his job application. And he was told that because of the cuts to the university system that they were no longer going to be hiring anybody. It's these citizens' stories that legislators really need to hear. And how this budget really is affecting the citizens of Wisconsin. I'm getting a little choked up just thinking about these people. So the Wisconsin Lakes Conference. They're one of these organizations, these nonprofit organizations that Helen brought up, that their budget, $200,000 is going to be cut from their budget each year in these DNR capacity grants that are being cut from the state budget. The last 4 months of my work has really been around meeting a lot of these lakes leaders in central Wisconsin because of the issue of high capacity wells, which is a whole other issue outside of the budget. But you know, the UW Extension Lakes Program, the Lakes Partnership is huge in getting working with these lakes leaders and getting them the knowledge they need to help manage their resource, get knowledge out to their lake boards and so they can be responsible stewards and help you know, protect their lakes for generations to come. And so this is a huge hit right here with those capacity grants in the budget. Another thing I want to touch on here is renewable energy. And it's not something that I've been able to focus on in my career at the League. Actually, what got me into organizing in the environmental political field was climate change and wanting to work on solutions to climate change and see what we could do as a state to, you know, cut down our carbon footprint. And in my first 5 years, I haven't really been able to work on a lot of that because it's just not been a priority of our legislature. And in this budget, just want to bring a couple things that haven't been brought up yet. There's a cut and a grant to the Bioenergy Institute at UW-Madison. This major cut basically makes them in default with their matching funds for their major federal grant that they got. So this essentially this eliminates the future of this program, and this came out about a week after they had just had a press release that they had had their 100th patent passed out of all the research that's been coming out of the Energy Institute. A major step back in a state where, you know, we have a lot of these communities. I've been traveling to Wisconsin Rapids, you know, Kekana, Kimberly, these Rhinelander, these paper mill cities, where a lot of this research could have been going towards retrofitting some of these factories and providing jobs and looking forward. And so what we see here is just another major step back. And so we see a lack of investment in renewable energy and this Bioenergy Institute. There's also $250,000 being allocated in the budget for studying the health impacts of wind power. $250,000 being spent to study the health impacts of wind, which is really, you know, the epicenter of this is come from in Northeast Wisconsin. And not $250,000 to study the health effects of, you know, blue-green algae blooms in our lakes or frac sand, polluting our air, or health effects of, manure runoff into our drinking water in Northeast Wisconsin, but to study the health effects of wind power. So this is definitely, you know, speaks to the values of the governor's proposed budget here and in the direction that we're going. I want to lift up something that Jim said too. Not only, you know, having your friends contact Republican legislators in other districts, but, you know, we can win on this in the court of public opinion. So having those friends write letters to the newspapers across the state, talking about these issues, why they're so important and why we need to get this budget fixed. That poll that came out, There's I think that this budget does not represent where Wisconsin actually is, and we need to let and get that word out to the public and make that known in those newspapers, because legislators read the newspapers. I was an intern in the Capitol for a couple of years for Tom Nelson, and they read those newspapers, they watch those Sunday morning political shows, and by us getting out our message out there, they really will respond to that. So we need to win this in the court of public opinion. We need to get messages into our legislators. The change in the legislature's stance on the DNR board came after, you know, the meeting of all the Conservation Congress meetings and our lobby day. You know, so they got a lot of input from the conservation community, and that's, you know, really part, just a part of what made that change come about in the budget. So, you know, I want to end with a message of hope that we can still make a change, and we have to keep fighting, but clearly, you know, there's a, you know, an effort here to kind of, just like with the breaking of the unions, kind of breaking apart our attempts to break apart our organization as an environmental community, and we're not going to let that happen.
Now, a discussion with the audience.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions. One, what is this fracas about? What is the board that Tia Nelson is?
Public lands.
There's been so much talk about restricting what they can talk about at that point because the governor has ordered them not to talk about climate change in their meetings. And that's unbelievable to most of us. Do you know any more about it? Is there any justification for that?
In answer to your question, no. And let me just put in perspective, Tia Nelson is the secretary of the Public Lands Board, which manages mainly school funds, basically, but they do have some public lands, forested lands that they manage, and she has responsibility for that. She was informed by, or asked by Governor Doyle to chair a commission on climate change, what Wisconsin could do to reduce CO2 emissions from our whole state. And she did, as a public servant, chaired that committee many years ago. And the new state treasurer came in, does not believe in climate change. and basically has been has got a vote of her board that oversees it, the Attorney General, and he voting to restrict her and her staff's ability to even mention the word climate change. Now, she manages forest lands. The forest lands in Wisconsin are being impacted by climate change. The Department of Natural Resources is working on issues relating to what happens in terms of forestry in the state because of climate change. Agriculture is too. Growing seasons are different. Virtually every fish and wildlife agency in this country is working on adapting management of the resources to the change we've seen in the last 40, 50 years, and the seasons changing. And she's prohibited doing it. I always tell people, you know, because they tend to be on one side of the political spectrum that are against talking about climate change. I always point out to them, the Pentagon is using this information to, in terms of interpreting what they're going to do in terms of their leadership and where the hot spots are going to be in the world. It's good enough for the military. It's good enough for me.
The reason that Walker wants to get rid of the scientists on DNR is that we can use the scientists at the university. I did hear one response to that saying university scientists are already being eliminated to some extent too. Do you know anything to add to that bit about what's happening with the scientists?
I think I can speak a little bit to that. Well, first of all, I want to begin by saying the research in the university and research in the DNR has been and always will be intimately tied together. You look at the Center for Limnology at the University of Wisconsin, and they are embodying the Wisconsin idea. You have scientists there that are studying projects around the world, but they also, almost to a one, are carrying out research projects that serves the state of Wisconsin, whether about invasives, whether about climate resilience, whether about dams on rivers. They are embedded in the state already. So that part is true. What is not a realistic expectation is to imagine that a scientist in the university is going to take on a project that is exactly what the DNR needs at any given moment. Governor Walker was very blasé about saying, well, if there's something we need, we just go out and get the a study done.
To contract out for it.
Yeah. Here's what the university isn't going to do. They're not going to take a look at, are you going to, this year, stock 100,000 fingerlings in Lake A or Lake B? That isn't a study that the university is going to take on, and that isn't a study that the state necessarily wants to pay the university to do. It is more expensive to do research in the university. They have their own administration and overhead and complexities, and those scientists have a different bottom line than the scientists at the DNR. They've got to get peer-reviewed articles out in order to support their own jobs, and frankly, their tenure is being attacked slowly but surely, so you better believe they're going to be that much more aware of what they're producing and peer-reviewed articles and science, that's big picture science. So it is not realistic to simply say the university will take it up.
I'm really concerned about the Warren Knowles Stewardship Fund. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Door County Land Trust.
Sure.
And they use a lot of that money to preserve land in Door County. Door County is disappearing very fast. I read someplace some time ago that there are more building permits issued in Door County than in the Milwaukee area. And we really need to protect what's left of that. And the Door County Land Trust has been using these funds for a long time and done a lot of good in protecting Door County. Yeah, I was wondering if we are not concerned about the environment, I wondered if people would look back to the 1960s. When I was living in Northeast Ohio, that Cuyahoga River was on fire. Now, we can go backward if we want to, if we're more concerned about profits for developers and things like that. But when I was a child in the 1940s, I used to swim in the Lake Tecumseh, and there was an inch thick of yellow, of green slime on the lake. And I don't know if that was before they had sanitary sewers, or they just threw the garbage in the lakes, and they went down to Lake Tecumseh and Lake Wabisa and whatnot. But that also affects the rivers.
I won't speak directly to stewardship. I think there are plenty of people here who will be able to answer your question. But you're right. The 1970s, 1972, the Clean Water Act came about that was revolutionized the condition of our rivers around the country. The Cuyahoga was this great example of a river that literally caught fire. I want to reinforce, going back to Ohio, the blue-green algae was what the threat of blue-green algae in drinking water is what shut down the city of Toledo's entire drinking water system last summer. And Wisconsin is very vulnerable to those same blue-green algal situations. And so it is, in a sense, feeling like we're sliding backward when we start worrying about things we thought we had a handle on in 1972. So I can't agree with you more. And while we have, in fact, made amazing progress in managing the pollution that comes out the end of a pipe into our waters, we need to have that kind of motivation because, as Jimmy said, we have the ability to make improvements. We just don't quite have the political will of our elected officials to do it. And we could easily find ourselves back in situations of swimming in yellow slime again. And in fact, in some places we do, and we can change it. And I think it's slowly coming, and they've got to get the message loud and clear that the rest of us want it and need it and are willing to make it happen with our votes. So I can't emphasize your good point enough. I think you're right on to say that.
There have been a couple of suggestions from the panel that a good, effective way that we could make a difference is try to pick our friends in parts of Wisconsin that have Republican representatives who are more, and try to influence them to write letters and so on. And somebody mentioned that, you know, some of these Republicans really are more conservation-oriented than others, and presumably that'd be the most effective ones to try to influence to get some votes on the right side. How do we, sitting here in Dane County, know who those senators and representatives are? That would be most likely. So if we knew there was somebody in Door County or somebody in Rhinelander, anybody have any answers to that?
So the question was, when we're targeting legislators to talk to, are targeting our friends in the districts where there are Republican legislators that are more conservation-minded, who should we be looking to target? And I guess the first answer I would have is up to the Northeast Wisconsin, Senator Rob Coles, Green Bay, Alloway. I would definitely, you know, go on legis.wi.gov and look up the district, because the boundaries, since the reapportionment, they've split up cities, so it can get kind of confusing. So if you have someone that lives in Green Bay, they might not necessarily be represented by him. But Senator Coles, and that's C-O-W-L-E-S. And I guess, you know, in my short tenure in conservation politics, you know, he's been the one that really works behind the scenes, especially in the state budget, to get things pulled out. Like when Walker was going to cut the recycling budget, which is also in this budget.
It is in this budget.
Yep.
Senator Coles worked to get that pulled out, I believe, and that was a 2011 or 2010 to 2012, or 2011 to 2013 budget. Does anyone else have any other suggestions?
Door County. Representative Kitchens actually is actually reached out a little bit, find out about specifically about, you know, cuts to county conservation staffing, but I think on the other issues too. The environment's a big deal in Door County. Folks are very sensitive to it. And they all have, I mean, right now the action is in joint finance. So that's 16 members. 12 of them are Republicans, 4 are Democrats. The Republicans are going to determine what comes out of joint finance. So you can go to the same legis website, you can go to joint finance committee. Those are the folks that are going to make decisions. that are going to come out in the budget. Now, some things can be affected after that, but the lion's share decisions are going to be made by joint finance. So those are the, you know, go take a look there. And the chairs of those of joint finance is Representative Nygren, way up in the northeast, Marinette, and Alberta Darling, who's in southeast. And those folks need to hear, you know, mm-hmm. these concerns too.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of interested in two aspects. One, when you speak about the farmers and runoff and some of the issues, those groups that maybe aren't even government groups that work with some of these same audiences, do you have a sense that it seems to me that the ideology is to remove any control that government might have or any assistance that government might have so that people who don't like government can do whatever they want to? Do you have any sense that farmers as a whole feel that way? I mean, are they anxious to be involved in getting assistance, or are they thinking, yeah, that's pretty good. If we could just keep doing without paying much attention, without having to put out much resources, what we want, is that what they're looking for? And my second question is, those organizations that are nonprofits that still exist have done a lot. There's no question. I mean, they're not able to do many of the things that government can do, but they do a lot for public awareness. Nature Conservancy does buy land. They may not have enough money to fill in this kind of a gap for 13 years, but on the other hand, if we lose all this and people get more money, maybe they would have some money. Education strikes me as another thing that some organizations could do outside the government, working with schools and so on in counties. It may not be as complete or as extensive, but do you, some of you that are in this position, I'm sure, to have to look, are you going to be able to fill in any of these gaps at all?
Okay, so I think the question is really about outside of government. You know, what are the approach? And I'll focus on the ag piece, and then other panels can deal with the other parts. You know, sort of the question is, do farmers care? And they do. Scratch a farmer, and there's a conservationist in there. There are very few that you know, really don't care. There are a few, but they're very small in number. The thing that's really different between we consider the, you know, if you talk about polluted runoff, we call it non-point source pollution. And then there's the point sources, which come from the end of a pipe, and that's been tightly regulated. The farming community has not been as tightly regulated. They just never have been. And so the approach to conservation with farmers has always been on a voluntary basis. Now, there's some exceptions to that, and that whole construct that farmers should be educated, develop a conservation ethic, is where we've been doing that for 80 years, and it's only, unfortunately, I think it's only taken us so far. And what you're seeing happen now is that we have wells get contaminated. The Wisconsin Supreme Court now has decided that, or has ruled, that when manure gets into a well, it's not a fertilizer anymore, it's a pollutant. That's a very big deal. And it affects all of agriculture. It affects retired folks that own land that rent to a farmer. I mean, you now have liability for what happens to your manure. If it gets in somebody's well, you're liable for that. And the cost can be significant. And that is affected, and it's an illustration of what's happening within the ag community related to what they think about conservation. It's no longer becoming a nice-to-do thing. It's becoming a must-do thing. But they need help to do it. And at the same time that judges, courts, and suits are coming down against farmers over these pollution issues, we're cutting back on the funding that can help them do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the irony of all of this budget. And we actually have heard it from Secretary Stepp. You know, she thinks our county conservation folks are great. you know, because farmers like them, and they do. But at the same time, her budget and the Department of Ag's budget to county conservation is being cut back. So it's the budget is really going in the wrong direction from where I think agriculture knows it needs to go. And even the Farm Bureau in Wisconsin, which is one of the most powerful lobbies in the state, because you asked about their organizations too. If you look at their policy on their website, they support more funding for county land conservation. They support phosphorus reductions. It's adaptive. It's some lingo, but it's reducing that phosphorus runoff from the lands. They support that stuff. The main policies, conservation policies. Are they going to go and fight for it in the budget? Probably not. But they are not going to actively work against it. So this is a time when I think we should be moving forward, but this budget takes us backwards.
In answer to your second question about, if I understood correctly, you're essentially saying, can't we have non-governmental organizations take up some of this education work that is being eliminated?
I mean, I'm in favor of government, don't get me wrong. But what I'm seeing happen may not be able to be overcome in the very short term. So I'm wondering if some of us are allegedly getting a tax break, if we put that money somewhere else.
Right. The short answer is yes, you can. But what's happening here is we're creating two things. One, we're making that piece of our interaction with the public, educating them about their, you name it, about environmental resources, hunting, water, lakes, and how to manage them. You're making that very unstable. The Lakes Association may not be around next year, Wisconsin Lakes, because they just got slashed out of this thing. They might be able to pick up the slack, they might not. We got impacted. We lose a position. That position was strictly for reaching out to watershed groups around the state and helping them be viable organizations. Like, how do you develop a board? How do you get people out to do river cleanups? How do you, you know, those sorts of things. That's going to disappear out of the River Alliance. We may or may not be able to fundraise for it. You know, it's going to be individual for each group taking up its mantle. What is more concerning to me, or why we've wanted to emphasize the loss of these funds at the state level, is you're turning, I think, a necessary item like educating the public about the resources that belong to them and turning it into an advocacy issue. You're putting it strictly into the hands of advocacy organizations where someone can point to it and say it's biased, or education is the same as politics, and that organization takes a position on a bill, and therefore we're opposed to everything they do, including a whole bunch of basic education. And that's a really dangerous pairing. And that's where I get uncomfortable with the idea of putting that education strictly into the hands of advocacy organizations. We all do it. We all do the education. We have to develop a citizenry that's committed to this resource, to our resource issues. But by taking education out of the role of state government, you're making a statement that it's a partisan or an advocacy issue, and that's a big step backward.
Let me put some numbers on your question. You talked about the Nature Conservancy. What would be cut is $32 million a year of land acquisition, and in Nature Conservancy, a great organization does not have $32 million to spend in Wisconsin. When you take the support away from school teachers to teach in every school district in the state, that's non-replaceable. I mean, you might get some around the edges, but maybe 5% of what is really necessary.
You've been listening to a discussion on the effects of Governor Scott Walker's proposed state budget on natural resources. This is one of four talks sponsored by the Madison Institute, titled The Wisconsin Budget Debacle. The other topics are K-12 public education, University of Wisconsin system, and social services. All are available at our website at themadisoninstitute.org. The views expressed here are those of the speakers, and not necessarily those of the Madison Institute.